evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard. And welcome. It's great to be aboard again, and blessings from Oklahoma.
Amen. Amen. And beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch, and I know we have a couple callers that are calling in a little bit, and so we'll take their testimony and share that with the remnant. And I think that's an important part. I think that's how part of the early church grew, was the people's testimony, was they told. I can't help but think that, you know, the man that was blind from birth, or the lame man when they were healed, and those that you know, had evil spirits and demons cast out of them and were whole, that we read about in the scriptures, that, you know, they went out and testified. They gave testimony of what had happened to them and how they had been healed. And that was a good thing.
Well, even Revelations 12:11, that we're overcomers, yes, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yes.
So there is something about sharing what we've seen, what we've experienced, and it goes forth to, just tell people that the supernatural is out there awaiting,
yes,
if whoever will seek,
yes,
whoever will reach out.
Amen.
Always reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood. She knew she could just press her way through the crowd and,
yep,
and touch the very hem of Jesus.
Right.
That she would be healed. She knew that.
She knew it.
And
she
she did.
She had tried.
The power came forth. And she,
amen. The power,
yes,
came forth. She had tried everything else, the Bible tells us, huh?
Yes.
But
so
she,
if you'll
knew,
seek, you'll find.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Yes. Amen to that.
And that's what we find constantly at Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City, is that they will not get their Jesus overhaul if they're not really seeking. Occasionally, someone brings someone, you know.
Right.
A mother brings the son. He doesn't really want to be there, but she's got him there. Or a spouse is brought under pressure and duress, and they don't want, they're not really reaching out to change. Well, it isn't going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
But if they'll reach out, we can take them by the hand, get them to the goal line, and praise God, their problems that they've been tormented with are typically gone in one session.
Well, good. Good to hear that.
It's something about speaking directly. You know, it's important to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and of course that's very scriptural, but it's also very scriptural to speak directly in Jesus' name, just like Mark 16:17 sets out, that was quoted earlier, that Jesus told believers in his name to cast out demons and to lay hands on the sick, to do it in his name, to speak directly. And,
yes,
and we see, we had 14 exorcisms Monday night, this last Monday, had a minister there with each, and I can assure you that every minister, those 14 ministers, they were all speaking directly to the problems in Jesus' name, knowing that they, each one of them, and I was there doing one case myself, but we all know that we have the power of attorney in Jesus' name to speak directly, to command it to change, or if in case of spirits of infirmity, to cast them out, or any other demons that are tormenting, and fear and anger and depression and all kinds of addictions, and it goes on and on. Most people have about 36, we find, and that's how many are cast out by the end of the evening. And then we get to see the exciting part of them, their faces looking different. Many times they look younger, and they've got these huge smiles, and they go out on big highs. And we go out on big highs, too, because God used us this way.
Amen.
I've been doing it 38 years now, and I just, you know, once you've tasted of this, you've got to have more. You've got to be in the middle of it. There's something rises up inside of you to go do it and to help all the hurting people around us, that we are just like Jesus in his name. It's hard to get that across to little us, you know.
Right.
But that's exactly what Jesus said in John 14:12, that we are to do his same works in his name. So here we go, and it is working. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to hear that, you know,
I had an interesting case, Richard, Monday night myself. I was on occasion, it only works in about one out of three or four, but depends on the sensitivities of the person. The head demon is there in every case, but we just can't always get it up where we can communicate it and interrogate it as a prisoner of war, but I did in this case. The head demon was Leviathan, and it was working through a four-generation curse through this woman's mother, who was deceased today, but it had come down through her mother's side of her parents. And the 13-year-old daughter, who was not there, but she had been having various problems going on, and as I interrogated Leviathan, I found out it had the authority over the demons in the 13-year-old as well. That's not unusual when they're under the, typically under around 18 or so, but under the spiritual authority of the parent. And that Leviathan was in the 13-year-old as well. So as we made sure there weren't any other legal rights or curses that we'd missed that hadn't been broken, and made sure all the satanic assignments were canceled, then I had Leviathan round up all the demons under his authority, and including pulling those out of the 13-year-old, binding them all up to him, and we confirmed that he'd done it, which you can do by saying to it, "Will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit?" And it confirmed that. By the way, earlier I did catch it lying. When I said that on something that it told me, and it said no. So anyway, that's when I had the warring angels. Then it had already pointed out the meanest looking warring angels circled around us. The demons can always see the angels, because we always ask them to come and circle around and for the warring angels to pull their swords. And I had that warring angel that it had pointed out earlier as the most threatening, to now jab that Leviathan three hard times, and the woman sitting in the chair is jerking three times with a funny look on her face. And I said to the demon, "How'd that feel?" And it said something like, "Not good," you know. And, of course, I advise that it's going to get worse than that if we catch it lying again. Usually that'll straighten them up. Time or two of the angels jabbing them will get them in line. But anyway, that was pretty exciting, pulling the Leviathan out of the 13-year-old daughter as well and blowing them all out at the end of the session. I got a text from the mother this morning that her daughter is doing much better, and I haven't had a chance to actually talk to her on the phone yet, but I will in the next day or two. So it's high adventure, amen?
Amen, it is. It is, and it's good to help people. Especially with the Word of God, and I don't think you can go wrong there.
We've seen thousands of backs healed. I have over these 38 years, of course we do what we call the limb check. I learned that in a little church I started going to back in 1978. And they were doing the limb check, and they have the person sit down in the chair, you know, when they have a back problem particularly, and they'll check, hold a person's shoes up with the heels, where you can see the heels of the shoes, and you can clearly see if the legs are equal, and many times they're not equal. A 1 or 2 inch difference is not unusual. And usually all we have to say, and of course we're speaking directly to it, we're not speaking to the Father in Jesus' name to do something. We speak directly, and typically all I have to say is, "In Jesus' name, adjust, pain, go." And out will come the short leg and equal. Now on occasion, it doesn't come out, and I learned this many years ago, if it doesn't come out, then you say to the person, who else do you need to forgive? Because unforgiveness will block all kinds of healings and blessings.
Yes.
Block prayers, blocks healing, blocks casting out demons. That is the biggest of the 15 doors we've recognized. So you've got to make sure the person has forgiven everybody. And when it doesn't come out, I'll say, who else do you need to forgive? And finally, the person will come up with some more names, voicing out to Jesus, I forgive so-and-so, I even bless so-and-so. And as they finally do that and covering it, the short leg comes out.
Amen.
Well, and it's obvious that that would apply to cancer or what have you, you know.
Yeah, forgiveness is it's a root. Well, we've got a caller. Let's bring the caller on. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, is this Sydney?
Is that you, Sydney?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Hi, Sydney. Yeah, this is Everett.
Hi.
I'm on here with Richard. Hi, and sure appreciate you calling in.
I'd ask
her to come in to kind of share how you first heard about this works of Jesus that's commonly called deliverance. Cindy, if you could share about that and then any experiences you're comfortable in telling about.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think the first time that I really, I'd heard about it through my mom when she started getting into it, but the first time that I actually remember my life changing, I was 13, and I was super depressed, and I got bullied at school a lot, and just, I had no self-esteem, or I didn't know why I was even born or what my purpose was. And I just remember, you know, sitting there, and I was just so sad all the time. And I just remember praying and asking Jesus, you know, what he thought of me. And, you know, he told me that he loved me so much, so he would never make something that wasn't worthy. And I just remember crying, and it's like, to this day, if I ever feel that way, I can go back to exactly how I felt in that moment and feel amazing again. And I would just say, ever since then, any time that I felt off or, you know, not peaceful, I could go and pray and ask God, you know, basically what he has to say about it, and I instantly get, like, this comfort that just comes over my whole body and relaxes me.
Right.
And, I mean, and now it's, yeah, and it's like, you know, I just started college, so there's a lot of new experiences and a lot of overwhelming situations, and, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the world, but I would just say that literally there's nothing else. I mean, you could go, I tried going to therapy, I've tried everything, new friends, doing more fun things. There's nothing that can, like, compare to when you just have, like, a one-on-one conversation with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what I still do every day to this day. And, I mean, I would say, like, what was that?
How did you first hear about deliverance, this type of ministry?
Well, my mom, like I said, I mean, I was young whenever my mom started getting into it. And I think she had went to Monday night with Everett some. And, you know, I just saw, like, an instant change in her. One day, just something was different, and I remember just thinking, well, that's weird, you know, because this is so not her, but she was better. And so, of course, you know, being a good mom and everything, she kind of got our family involved with it. And I would say that I was about 11 or 12 whenever I started, you know, hearing her pray like that, because we had went to a very religious church all while I was growing up. And it was like, they wouldn't even pray to talk to God. Like, that was not, you could not do that. Or, you know, there was not spirits that could influence the way that you act or feel. And so it was like, this was completely new for all of us. But just the change that she had, I think, made all of our family open to it. And then, yeah, I would say when I was 13, that one instance was definitely, like, life-changing for me. But I can say that, you know, people that I know that have suffered with, I even know people that have suffered with addictions or depression, bipolar, all of these things. It is like the minute that they get some, like, freedom from all of this, I don't even know what to call it, but all of these spirits and, like, oppression, it is like a night and day difference, and I think that like people's minds clear up, and they just, it's like, why didn't I know about this sooner? Because you just literally feel like a new person.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you've seen that with people you know where they've had this kind of ministry called deliverance and casting out of spirits, and you've seen changes.
Oh, yeah. My sister, she's the first thing that I think about because she was terrified of fire. Like, you couldn't even have a candle. And she was about 6 or 7 years old, and you couldn't even have a candle in the house without her flipping out, having anxiety attacks. And I remember one time my parents, they finally were just realized, you know, well, this is not of God. You know, fear is not of God. And they literally set her in the room, and they just spoke it over her, peace, and that, you know, whatever spirits were trying to interfere with Hadley's peace no longer had a right to her. And I am not kidding. She walked out of that bedroom, and they went and lit a candle. And ever since then, she has had no fear with any of that. And just with myself, I mean, I can tell a huge difference. I never got like sick, really. I mean, with like the spirits or whatever. But I definitely struggle with depression, and I actually was anorexic at one point, and I prayed and got rid of that spirit, and I've been fine ever since. So I definitely
Praise
believe
God.
It. I know. Yeah. I mean, and stuff is real.
Think how many are out there in the big wide world with depression, just itself, besides the fears and fear of this, fear of that, and so on. There are millions of them out there, and most of them never get this kind of ministry. And we're speaking about Christians. Christians can't be possessed by demons, but they can be tormented in the body area and the soul area, and so the bulk of the people we work with are already born again Christians when they come for ministry. You've seen probably most of the people you've seen get ministry are already born again, aren't they, Cindy?
Yes, yeah. I would say that it's like if you have any idea about God, that you're more of a target to Satan, because you know you're a threat to other people. And if you're not even enlightened about that these things could actually happen, then, I mean, of course, I feel like the devil's going to go after you. But I think that if we could, like us as Christians, if we could catch a grip onto the fact that there are so many evil spirits out there that are tormenting others, like as well as ourselves and our friends and things, we could help so many more people. You know, and it was like, I was kind of nervous to even do this, but just to think about how many people it could influence, that's worth it to me. That's why we're here.
Yes, and with what you've learned, and you've learned a lot, you're in a position as you go through your life to recognize these evil spirits tormenting and do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like I said, anytime I get out of peace or anytime I know something's not right, I know to just pray about it and figure out, okay, well, have I opened any doors over myself? Is there an area that I need to ask for forgiveness, or do I need to forgive somebody? And that I've learned that is so much easier than just blowing it off or sweeping it under the rug and, like, letting it get worse. And I would say that is, like, one of the best tools that you can have, is just learning to go directly to God when you know you're not right.
Absolutely.
I think we all can whenever we're out of peace.
Yes. I'm sure as you've learned as much as you have now, Cindy, you can look around you, even at the university that you're at, and see many, many of the kids that need help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like whenever you kind of catch a grip of what it's really like and what people really struggle with, it's a lot easier to look at people with compassion instead of having anger, you know, for situations and get mad at people for the way that they act. But you almost have compassion because you know that's not who God created them to be, and that they're dealing with a lot of things. And you know, now it's like you can even be in Walmart and see somebody, and you can just tell, like, that person is struggling, and you know, how do you, sometimes I just pray for them right then wherever I am. And I just, you know, I guess that's where we have to be more in tune, or I have to be more in tune with how do I share what has happened to me and how I have came so far to other people.
Well, testimonies are one of the best ways. Testimonies are often what will get it across. You know, people argue about the scriptures, what this says or that says, or their doctrines of their various churches, and they say, well, this is the way it is because this is the way we've always done it in our church. And yet, the scriptures are, when you really dig into them, are very clear about casting these things out. And so when they hear testimonies, though, of people that their life has changed because of having this kind of ministry, then it starts soaking in that it's real. I did a radio show here in Oklahoma City for like 22 years, 5 days a week. It was pre-taped, but they were testimonies of people that had had deliverance and also physical healings. About half of them are physical healings as well, because they go together, the unforgiveness being a door for both of them. And, you know, when people would hear those testimonies, it would soak in, especially as they hear more than one. The first one, they usually think, this is really a weird show. But then they'd hear some more testimonies, you know, and they'd relate to some of the testimonies. It'd be kind of like them, you know, and they'd think, well, I've got that problem, and I've got that problem also. You don't suppose I could get some help. And that's when they would wind up seeking, and sure enough, they go through deliverance, and they get delivered. And, of course, our ministers, that's really where the ministers have come from. They got deliverance because they had their share of problems, and then they realized it was real, and then they look around them, and there's people everywhere with those problems, and you have a compassion to want to help them. And yes, what you said earlier is so true. When you see people that are doing all these weird things, you realize they probably got their three dozen demons tormenting them, and it's a little easier to forgive at that point, because you know it's not really them. The demons are pushing them.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe you can go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was listening.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, with the base that you have under you already, Cindy, just being 18 years old, the base that you have at this point, my goodness, think what you can do with it the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. And that's the plan, you know. I don't want to ever get caught up in just making sure that myself is good, and I just always want to spread how it can help other people. Because it's literally a life-changing experience. And it's, to me, it's night and day difference. You know, it's not like something that takes months before you feel a difference or before you feel better. Like, for me, I literally can, I just feel lighter and more peaceful. And I have heard of people, you know, that have gotten healed from sickness or injuries. And it's just, you have to, I mean, I have to tell myself that we have no idea, like, how or what God is capable of. So for anybody, you know, that I know that doubts anything, or that, I don't know, they can't comprehend it, it's like, well, once you experience just a little bit of it, you're like, wow, this is just that little, like, just when I heard Jesus say that he would never make something that's not worthy, that just, to me, that, yes, like, nobody else could have said that to me and it mean anything, or definitely not make me feel so much better. So I think that's, you know, that's the plan. I'm just going to go around, and I think a lot of times people can feel your energy and feel that you're different if you are in that relationship with God and you've gotten healing from wounds and deliverance from the demons. Like, literally, people can just tell that something about you is different, and you got to be willing to just open up and tell people and let them know that they can have that too.
Yes.
And that's what I'm going to do.
Well, freely receive, freely give.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome, Cindy. Before we wind up here, do you have anything else to say to the listeners out there?
I would just say that if I could give any advice, it would just be just try it. You know, if you're on the edge and you don't know, I am telling you from personal experience that Jesus loves you and he's waiting for you to make that choice because he hates seeing us suffer. And it's your choice. And the minute that you choose it, I am telling you that Jesus is right there with his arms wide open and you don't have to suffer or be tormented from the demons anymore. And it is worth it.
Amen.
And that's it.
Well, that's awesome, Cindy. Thank you so much for sharing. And I know you've got a great overhaul. And now go forth and enjoy. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Cindy. Appreciate it.
No problem. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what a testimony. Kind of gives you faith again. Gives you faith again that, you know, the even this generation, God has his remnant that,
yes,
that love him, that serve him, that know that he loves them. You know,
yes.
We hear a lot out there about that, well, God loves you. He does, but he loves you so much that, you know, he wants you to come, one, to come out of your sin, and two, he loves you so much that he wants to let you have that, to give you that abundant life that he promises. And he makes a way for that, but it's his way. It's not our way, it's his way. Praise
the Lord. Amen. And once you're born again, and of course, full water baptism, then you're under those blessings of the new covenant. And wow, what a package we have from
Amen.
The cross.
Amen.
I'm constantly learning more and more of how much that was. It's way beyond most of us can grasp and get our arms around.
It absolutely is.
Hallelujah.
It is so foreign to the time that we live in today. You know, this time of anything goes. You know,
yes.
I was reading something the other day about, you know, how this young Christian man, Tim Tebow, how, you know, it's the whole world's against him. You know, it seems like it, the establishment anyway, you know, whether it's the sports field or the, you know, it just seems like, you know, the guy's a good athlete, but, you know, he wears this Christianity out on his shirt sleeve. You know, he's not ashamed to pray. He's not ashamed to say that he loves Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to thank God. You know, he's not out whoring himself around like so many in that generation are and in that the sports arena are. And he's a pariah. He's, you know, nobody in the establishment hardly wants anything to do with him. And, you know, that's how it is. You know, the Bible itself says that the world hated Jesus when he was here. And if we follow him, they will hate him and come against you. And as followers of Christ, they do. That's the norm today. But we still have that life abundant that we can have. You know, we can be, and we are to be.
Oh, absolutely.
In the world, but not of the world. Because those that are of the world... you know, they are ruled by the God of this world, and that's not our God. It's not. You know, we have Jesus Christ.
The God of this world is Satan, and he's pulling all kinds of strings.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the scriptures say. So many people just don't have any understanding that what's going on spiritually, and they, of course, just think their problems are them and flesh and blood. And they don't come against anything in Jesus' name. They don't realize they're in the war, and they don't realize how much power they have in Jesus' name as a born-again Christian.
Amen.
And so they just live with their problems. So many Christians, probably the bulk of the Christian body, lives with those problems, which actually turn out to be spirits hanging out in their body, even spirits of sickness, and or tormenting the mind, will, emotion part of them, the soul. And they live that way the rest of their life. When they die, they go to heaven, but they never had life abundant that they could have had while they're here on earth, because they never learned how to deal with the enemy. And the enemy loves that. The less a Christian knows about spiritual warfare, the more vulnerable they are to the attacks. And the young lady that was just on, she hit it right on the head that we Christians are targets.
Yes.
And it's just using common sense. If you were in Satan's war room, who would you shoot at? It would be Christians, because we're likely to share Jesus. We're likely to utilize our God-given gifts and go forth in our destinies and ministries. So yes, we are targets.
Absolutely.
That's why you'll see high-level Christians that have achieved high levels in the gospel and evangelists and so on. And sure enough, at some point, many of them fall because they never really got an understanding on how to deal with the enemy. So it's frustrating, but at least we're able to do what part we can here.
Amen.
And share it. And these 14 cases we had Monday night were awesome. We had two from Arkansas. They were Scriptures for America people.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Come over. And it was just, you know, I'm still on a high from Monday night, Richard.
Well, that's great to hear. It is.
After Monday night, I can't hardly go to sleep when I get home. You know, I'm pumped.
Right.
Physically, I'm dragging a little bit, you know, but my spiritual high is so high that it kind of overcomes the physical.
Sure. Well, praise the Lord. He has always had his remnant. You know, he is always, all the way back in the time of, you know, you read back in the Old Testament in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and, you know, there was always a remnant that would return to him when he put the call out. And praise God, there still is that today. Those that have their eyes open, that see, like what Sidney testified about, you know, that hey, there's more to this. And that, you know, when we return to him, he has a bountiful blessing for us. Well, there's the phone line ringing again. Let's take our next caller. Good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sherry. Thanks for calling in.
you're welcome. Hi, Everett. How you doing?
I am blessed, and I've heard that same about you.
I am. I'm totally blessed.
Well, Sherry, would you mind sharing, since we have listeners that are not familiar with this works of Jesus called deliverance or exorcisms and even physical healing by prayer, would you share how you first, in your walk in Christ, how you first learned about deliverance and the reality of it, and then any experiences that you've had along the way?
I sure will. I first came to know Jesus personally in 1975, and my walk after that presented itself with some experiences. And in those experiences, I found out there was a real devil. And he presented himself now and then, and the Lord showed me how to deal with him. But coming up in about 2001, I had moved to Oklahoma City, and my son had come back from California, and he had some issues that needed to be dealt with very seriously. And so I was praying and praying that there was a deliverance ministry somewhere in Oklahoma City, not knowing that you were there. So one day I was cleaning a house, and you came on the radio on your program, and that's how I found deliverance ministries. So I called you, and eventually my son went in for deliverance, and being a very important year this year, the 15th anniversary of 9/11, after deliverance occurred, and then 9/11 occurred, and the towers fell, my son immediately went into the Army. And he's been in the Army now for 15 years. Well, he's been in the military for 15 years. And because of the deliverance and knowing Jesus and that kind of thing. It really helped in his life.
Praise God. Did he get a good Jesus overhaul, Sherry, when he went through the deliverance?
He really did.
Changes.
And it was remarkable because he would have never been able to do what he did then and what he's doing now if it hadn't been for the Lord setting him free.
Praise God. That's awesome. And you know, we constantly see lives change accordingly. Because if a person is sitting there, and since most people have around 36 or so, how are you going to cope in life with these demons coming up to the surface from time to time? It's going to make it difficult to do lots of things. And that's why Jesus commanded believers, I see it now, to cast out demons, since he commanded that so clearly in Mark 16:17. Because so many people actually have them, including Christians, especially Christians. So that's why we're doing what we do. Well, that's an awesome experience there, Sherry, and see how his life has gone over these 15 years now.
Well, it spurred me on to want to be more proactive in that area, so I did join the deliverance team and became a team member after that for several years with you and all of your wonderful ministry people. And I really enjoyed doing that and helping people get free. Then I moved to California in 2006, and I've been out there doing what you and I call West Coast satellite experience out there, and continue to help other people.
Well, Sherry, I remember when you did help us in Oklahoma City before you moved to California. I do remember one particular case, and there's so many of them I forget, but I remember this one particularly because this young man, his parents had taken him to Mayo's Clinic and to a specialist all around the Oklahoma area. Why don't you share about that case? You remember
that one? I do. It was especially close to my heart. It was an 11-year-old boy, and his parents were there, and his aunt came. And you really prayed about who you were going to place each person with, and you happened to choose me to work with him. And very sweet family. And through the struggles that they had with him in school, and he had a situation where he had tics. And so he'd jerk once in a while.
That's spelled, Sherry, T-I-C-S, isn't it? It's not T-I-C-K-S.
Yes, it is.
It's kind of a nervous thing where he had a jerking condition, and it was, of course, kids were making fun of him in school, I remember.
Right.
And he would jerk and all that, and that's some kind of a condition called TICS. I remember that.
That's correct. Right. Thanks for clarifying that.
But I do remember when you ministered to him that he felt the demon and the spirit of infirmity running around in his body.
He did, and one time he grabbed his leg and he said, "Loneliness, it's stuck in my leg." And it was, you know, you have to realize that these people have no idea what this is about, but for him to realize that the spirit of loneliness was in his leg. And so we proceeded very gently with him, being 11 years old, and very gently for him to get set free of all of the demonic things that were bothering him. The Mayo Clinic just really diagnosed him with ADHD and that kind of thing. But like you said, he was having trouble in school and being teased, and so it was very, very difficult for the parents in this. So they had driven quite a distance all over to come and be a part of this. But then as I was finishing ministering to him, and we have a list that we use to go through to kind of take each one and name them, I got down to the last column on your suspect list. And before I could say anything, the 11-year-old grabbed his foot and said, witchcraft. And that was the last suspect list. And, you know, by the time we got done, this young man got totally set free. And I remember that you had told me they had called back and said he didn't have any more tics and that he was doing well. I know he came back one more time, but, you know, he's now.
It was on a different issue. He came back for a different issue.
That's right. That was about 2005. So it's 10 years ago. So he's 21 now. But from what I understand, he's doing very, very well. He made it, graduated from high school. I believe he's in college, isn't he, Evan?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was really quite an experience for me and the family. And I know that they had tried everything and exhausted every resource that you could exhaust, from psychiatrists to Mayo Clinic, everywhere. But it was Jesus who set him free. It was Jesus who did the work.
So the power in his name went forth as you spoke directly to it and drove those things on out.
And that's right.
And you did the works of Jesus that he told you to do. Sherry,
that's right.
How about that?
That's right, and I continue even today. So, you know, I it's kind of a just if it happens to come up. But you know, a lot of people are a little weary of this type of thing. But you know what? When you begin to speak the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, demons flee, Everett. They go, and if only people would realize the power that's in his name.
Yes. People need to learn that Luke 10:19 more, where in Jesus' name we have power over all the enemy, and even a promise that nothing will harm us. And I accepted that scripture as a truth over 3 decades ago and apply it constantly, and I've actually seen demons take the person's hands and manifestations up over their ears because I'm quoting Luke 10:19. So that is a scripture every Christian needs to memorize and say it out loud a lot. It tends to keep the enemy at bay.
I think if we all remember that what Jesus did for us and that he's alive. And that he wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to be free because he destroyed the works of the devil. And I constantly keep that in my mind. And I constantly say that, and even myself, I continue to keep the blood of Jesus over my mind. And I command the devil to stop and desist because he has no more power. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil at Calvary, and we must believe that.
Yes. And now we are to do the same in his name on whatever remains around here. And there's apparently millions of these demons, and that came about from the fall when a third of the angels were cast down with Lucifer, Satan. And so they're everywhere around us. It just saddens me that Christians have not got more knowledge on this, but that's what we're trying to do on the show, even, is to tell it and to get the word out that this is good news, and we can help many people besides ourselves by learning and getting hold of these scriptures we have in the New Testament.
That's right. That's right, Everett. And it is the gospel. It is the good news about what Jesus came to do. And I encourage everyone out there that's listening to know that God cares about you and does not want you to be in torment. And if you are having any issues at all, look to Jesus. He is your deliverer. He will set you free. And I just encourage them to know and believe in the name of Jesus.
Yes, thank you. Well, any other experiences that you quickly would think of to share, Sherry?
Well, you know, there are so many that I dealt with. And like you said, it's hard to remember sometimes all of them. I do have a personal testimony before I met you and how I came to know that there was something else besides I didn't know Jesus very well, but I kept having these thoughts in my mind that I couldn't stop. And so a friend of mine said, oh, you need to put the blood of Jesus over your mind. So I was in my real estate office one day, and I did what she told me. I pled the blood of Jesus over my mind for about 15 minutes because I believed her. Well, all of a sudden, something jumped out of my back, Everett. I bet, you know, if anybody has a testimony about something like that, I felt this thing just leave me instantly. So I'll never forget that. That was my first wake-up call to that there was something else out there. And from then on, Jesus began to lead me into deliverance and knowing the works of the devil and what he tries to do. But when that thing jumped out of my back, Everett, I'm going to tell you what. I stood up and shouted, hallelujah, what was that? That I was free. I was totally free.
Amen.
All that fear left me, that anxiety, everything left me instantly. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, just left me instantly.
And how
so that's
that?
Just one of the things I remember about my own experience.
Yeah, and while a lot of times, you know, there's legal rights for demons to be there, we've also seen through the years there's a lot of them that will just blow right out as you speak to them without any door closing or anything. That's how we started out, and we had levels of success, of course,
but
we quit. So just the simplest kind of thing is I tell people, well, if you can't remember anything else, if you're in a situation with spirits and all, just remember the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus out loud.
Exactly, exactly. Those demons will leave, I guarantee it. But the important thing is to believe. I believed in Jesus and his name and his blood. The important thing is to believe.
Yes. And you know, faith and belief comes by reading the Word. And just like that, the more you memorize that Luke 10:19 itself, the more it'll sink in of who you are, and you can speak with boldness against these things. A lot of Christians kind of cower back, and I've had people tell me when they hear what I do, they say, well, I'd be careful, brother. Well, they don't know who they are in Jesus. And that Luke 10:19 sets it out for all Christians, that we have all power, A-L-L power, in Jesus' name.
We do. We do. Amen. And I will never stop thanking you for your ministry and what you've done. And when I found it and I was able, I guess I needed what I thought I needed support in helping with my son. But you know what? It was perfect because I saw that God wanted me to be a part of that. And so he hooked us up. He just hooked us up.
Amen.
And now 15 years later, here we are.
Amen. And you know, that's so many of our ministers have all had somebody in their family or themselves that needed this kind of help, and that's how they initially learned about it. Just about all of us and our ministers have come from that, and you have that compassion to want to help others. So there you are. Well, now, since you live in California, Sherry, why don't you go forth and set California free?
Well, I'm trying to. Just now and then, you'd be surprised how the Lord will bring you someone, Everett. And it just happens, and there it is. I make myself available. I do have people that do call me from across the country now and then, and you've given me referrals as well. Like if somebody's more on the West Coast and they need to be dealt with, then I talk to them. So, you know, I'm still in the business of helping set people free.
Amen. Amen and amen. Well, Sherry, thank you so much for sharing, and I know that impressed many listeners out there that about the reality of this, and so they'll start focusing more into the scriptures along these lines.
Amen, and I'm going to be praying for your listeners, Everett, that who's ever been touched, that they will call in and they will find that peace and that freedom and from oppression or whatever it is that's bothering them. But thank you, Everett, for continuing this ministry. You are a blessing.
Thank you, Sherry. You are a blessing as well. The Lord is proud of you, I know. Well, have a good one. A blessed evening.
You too, Everett. Bye, all you listeners.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Another great set of testimonies there.
Hallelujah. They tell it, don't they?
They do.
Hallelujah.
They do. And that's why that Revelation scripture that you quoted earlier, I think, is so important. That's just how God set it up. The word of our testimony. His word says, if we're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of us. But what ties in with it is faith comes by hearing. You know, that's how we came to become Christians. We heard the word. We decided to seek it. He called, and when you seek, you'll find. But you have to seek it.
Yes.
When
you have to reach out.
And there's so much there. There truly is. And it is, I know it's encouraging for people to hear, when they have problems, when Lindsay, Cindy, the young lady, talking about being depressed and no self-esteem and all that. Because she had not heard that what Jesus, that God, is, I forget the exact quote she said. What was it? Something about that, He doesn't make any, He's proud of what He makes or something like that. And she said she had never heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we might mention the book that's available.
Yes.
I have a book out.
Yes.
Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's available through Scriptures for America. And it's not just a book. It's a book manual that has the steps that we've learned through these many years of dealing in deliverance and physical healing. And if someone is interested in learning these steps, I would suggest you get hold of Scriptures for America, and they can get you one.
Yes, yes.
And our website also, Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City, is deliveranceusa.com.
Yes.
deliveranceusa.com. And we even have 4 hours of video teaching and ministry that's on the website under the self-ministry page.
So again, that website is deliveranceusa.com. And we do encourage you, if you have the internet, to go there and look and look at the material. You can. It is all in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I can't say anything better about it than that. And it is putting forth good fruit, good lasting fruit. And that's a good thing. Well, Pastor, we're out of time. Thanks again for joining us. And hope you have a blessed evening as well. And folks, if you want to, you heard the website, deliveranceusa.com. And if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless. case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart